Good morning, buenos dias, whatever, you know, where you're at, or it might be afternoon or evening for all of you. But hello to all you BC WrestlePod nerds, and welcome to a live edition of the Grapple Gurus Review. This is part one of three. We're creating our own trilogy with this whole entire weekend, and this is going to be part one of our Infinity War saga, because worlds are colliding. The universe is at stake. It is a crazy time. But we are here with part one, which is for the NXT Stand and Deliver 2024 PLE. I am your host with the most, the face that kind of runs the place, Mikey, also known as El Jefe around these parts. And I am joined by my motley crew, my Avengers, my cohorts in crime, and I'm so excited to have them. This has been a long weekend, if you couldn't have told and tell, especially for some of us that have been doing this since Friday. But I am joined by my lovely co-host this time around. You can find him reviewing NXT and TNA. Papa Oso himself, Will, is here this morning. Thank you for waking up and doing this in the morning.
Of course, always.
It's fantastic. You can find our other host doing TNA and NXT, as well as the ROH Ring of Honor reviews, Andrew, Mr. A to Z himself. Good morning, sir. Thank you for also being here this morning.
What's up?
So fantastic to have you. And then last but certainly not least, he's in a constant war over between Raw and SmackDown. He sometimes is in a basement, sometimes he's not. And he lays the claim that SmackDown is better than Raw. Joining us for the first time ever on an NXT-related thing since we started BC WrestlePod, Mini, a.k.a. The Prodigy. Good morning, sir.
This is my second time. I did a Great American Bash last year, too.
Oh, that's right. It's been a wild time for sure. But the four of us are here, and we are going to be reviewing Stand and Deliver. Before I get started with the review, just a couple of things really quickly. This is meant to be our personal opinions. This is what we think. This is how we view it. This is our lens. We are here to have a good time. If you disagree with some of our commentary, then that is okay. Let us know why you disagree, but please do it in a respectful manner. Also, we are here to have a good time, so we may be cracking jokes at the expense of certain wrestlers and at the certain expense of the hosts here. So please don't take anything we say too seriously, because we're here to have a good time. Good? Good. We're good. All right. So now that we've gotten that warning out of the way.
That's the first time I heard that. Is somebody talking shit on Twitter or something?
Not necessarily to us, but I feel that we should start doing this because the internet wrestling community has been
toxic as fuck.
Crazy the last week or so, given certain things that are happening. So I am going to put that out there, to put it as a brand statement, so people can't say, hey, you didn't tell us we couldn't. Well, now you do. So now that that's out of the way, let us begin, because we are here to review so far, because we still have night two to watch tonight of WrestleMania. So far, which has been my favorite pay-per-view / PLE that I have watched this whole entire weekend, which is crazy because the weeks that have been going into this certain PLE have been kind of up and down. And for the NXT crew that has reviewed it, go watch our past reviews, because the last 3 weeks have been a struggle, which has been really, really weird. Alrighty. So Stand and Deliver this year takes place in Philadelphia. One thing I'm going to be doing differently is shouting out all the artists. So this year's theme for Stand and Deliver is The Year of the Vulture by the band The Wonder Years. If please go check it out. It is a banger. I always want to give credit to NXT theme songs for their PLEs and special shows, because they tend to be my favorites over their main roster counterparts. All right. So let's just rip the Band-Aid off. We're going to start with our pre-show match to begin with. So this was a match that literally was made on the Go Home Show, NXT. So our pre-show match was Sean Spears versus Joe Gacy. Okay, so before we even got the match started, like, Ridge Holland was there doing like pre-show stuff and doing the commentary with the commentary team in terms of promoting all the matches that were happening. And Sean Spears makes his entrance, Joe Gacy makes his entrance, and all of a sudden, Ridge Holland decides to hit Joe Gacy with a chair and leave. I'm like, okay.
Ridge Holland was doing the pre-show, like commentary stuff, talking about the whole event. And he's just like, hey, guys, I guess I'm not retired. I'm going to use this fucking chair, even though I have no problems with Joe Gacy. I have a problem with Sean Spears, but I'm going to hit him anyways with the chair. It's super confusing.
And I think it was to activate Joe Gacy's cray-cray powers.
So, yeah, that was a bit of a weird thing because, again, Minnie, you bring up the point that Ridge has had issues with Sean and not necessarily Joe per se, but he hits Joe, which, sure, fine, whatever. And then the match gets started. I thought this was an okay match. I mean, it's a pre-show match that was given to us based on a feud that they literally created a couple days before. So I still thought it was fun, though.
Yeah, this whole thing has been really weird because of taking Ridge Holland out, taking Joe Gacy off of the feud with Dijak to just throw him in with Spears, and then throwing Dijak into the North American title picture. I think this would have served better had Ridge Holland had more involvement or more connection with it beyond just the chair shot and then leaving, because it's clear they're going to build to something with the three of these people, whether it's the three of them kind of becoming this crazy group or whatever it is. But it seemed kind of partially done. Like, there should have been more to it.
It's like they didn't know exactly what they wanted to do, so they pulled a half trigger instead of a full trigger on something. They're like, let's just see what happens. And they're like, yeah, that was like y'all didn't fully think it through or what you wanted to do.
Yeah, but this is sometimes that's NXT, though.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, sometimes they just like throw a match and it's like, why is this match happening? Oh, because you just needed something to go here. Oh, okay. So they're just going to put two random folks together who have no beef with each other whatsoever. And, you know, and I don't know if they're trying to kickstart something with this. Like now Joe Gacy's going to have or some issue with Spears or Spears going to have some issue with Gacy. I don't know. But NXT does this every once in a while. Even like during the weekly programs, there'll be a match that everyone's just sort of like, why is this happening? You know, okay. I mean, you know, but of course, like I'm a huge fan of Gacy. So anytime I see him, I get to see him on, I'm good. So I was excited just because it was Joe Gacy.
You know, he seems like a really good, like, my only issues right now is the fact that he's really creepily staring at me right now because of the picture that's up and I'm uncomfortable. But it was a good match. I mean, I thought I was okay.
Yeah, the match quality, like, both these guys are really good. The match quality for me was this could have just been a regular NXT weekly match. And I think that's been my issue so far with this weekend is things haven't quite hit the spectacle level that I want them to, like not everything has. And that's how this match felt. I think maybe having Ridge Holland more involved would have added more things to it or something along those lines, or if there was a special stipulation or something. My problem with the image mini is that from this angle, Sean Spears' mohawk looks uneven.
It really does.
Oh, it does.
It's like, you know, too much to his left.
Mikey, you need to hurry up and change this. I'm like, this is like double uncomfortable now. I mean, my soul is being stared at and the OCD in me is also not flipping out.
Well, so you mentioned the word soul and, you know, we talked about this after the go home show, but after watching Stand and Deliver, I think we could have switched this had this match on the go home show and then have Blair and Soul be on the pre-show and have that match at Stand and Deliver, because I think that would have been great. Plus we would get three women's matches on Stand and Deliver.
And that match was like
the best.
That was PLE quality, and you could have potentially also used it as a setup for qualifying for something we're going to talk about later.
Yes, we are. All right, bye Spears, bye Gacy. We're going to move on because the pre-show ends. We get a really fun, like, opener with Metaphor, like, doing skits with all the people involved in the PLE this for Stand and Deliver. And then we get to the main card, and we open up with a banger. So for the NXT Tag Team Championships, we have Nathan Frazier and Axiom, which we have dubbed them as Velocity, taking on the champions of Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker, also known as the Wolf Dogs. And this match was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very smart of them to open up with this match.
And, you know, and I think this was a great pairing. I mean, whoever was like, ooh, let's put the Wolf Dogs with Frazier and Axiom, they need a raise. because man, did it was so great to watch the sort of giant powerhouses against these sort of like really quick and fast on their feet high flyers. And it was really neat because it really, because like Baron and Braun were like, they had to be on their A game. Because man, Nathan, when Nathan was in that ring just around Corb, I was like, oh my God. And he was just like, so come here.
There was that. And then when Axiom Gamer took Braun Breaker's head off with this, with that kick.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so great.
Yeah. I, you know, in our predictions, I said I thought that the Wolf Dogs would win. And I could see Axiom and Frazier being future NXT tag team champions, but I didn't quite feel like this was that point for them. But what I feel like we got from this was showing that while they're not yet ready to be champions, they're definitely ready to be top contenders for that title. Yeah, like,
agreed.
They look like the top tag team behind the champions in NXT right now. And I love what they're doing with the Wolf Dogs. So the longer we get to keep them like this, they're just such a good dominant tag team. Like, I want to see them against, like, now let's see the Wolf Dogs against a group like OTM or something. Like, like, you know, just really solidify their title reign. And I, it was such a good, like, mix of strength versus speed. And then you also have, you know, Breaker's speed too, because he's really fast for a guy his size. Really, he's super athletic. And I love the modification that they did to their finisher for the Wolf Dogs.
Well, I was like, I was mentioning this, how fast and how powerful Braun runs. He was hitting the ropes, and he hit the ropes so hard the entire ring moved. You can find that clip of it. Like, he hit the ropes so hard that you can see the entire ring.
Yeah, the whole ring shook. Yeah, it was so great. But that's like when they were, when he threw, was it Nathan? Yeah, it was, they threw Nathan down and Nathan like bounced. I was threw him down so hard. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, this is great.
This was great. I agree. I think the modified finisher from the Wolf Dogs was fantastic. They walk out of Stand and Deliver, still your NXT champions, but good on Nathan and Axiom, because honestly, right now, if we're looking at the landscape of our tag team division with our NXT specific tag teams, I should add, I think they are definitely at the top. Now, what I'm hoping to see is I would actually, since we have Malik Blade, made them, like, since they are an actual established tag team, I would love for them to be the next ones in line. And then eventually, if we wanted to do a triple threat between these three for the titles, I would be, it would be great. I will. The only thing I'm worried about is because I know the NXT universe loves Chase U, but let's keep them out of the tag title picture for a little bit, because we've kind of seen a lot of them over the last couple of weeks in this. So I feel that they could be supportive to Thea in her endeavors for a couple, for a little bit. But this was a fantastic opening. I thought this started off great. And then this next match was my surprise of the morning. This triple threat for the NXT North American Championship, Obafemi defending the title against both Dijak and Josh Briggs. I am not, I'm going to be very transparent here, and you can look at our reviews. The NXT hosts were not really looking forward to this match because the build to this has not been great.
No.
Then we watched the match, and by the end of it, I was just like, well, damn, I'm going to have to eat crow, because these three showed up and they showed out and they proved me wrong, because this was my surprise. And I'm going to be completely honest, from an entertainment outside of the, you know, my match of the night, this was very close. This was my number two match of the whole entire morning. Like, this match was so fun. And it was really good. And it was actually paced really well for a Haas match, which is very hard to do in this day and age. But this match ruled, you guys.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you, because the build to this was painful, to say the least. And the it's just like one of the other matches that the, every time they would show a build for it, I just got less and less interested in it. Because, and we've said it before in the previous reviews where I've said it before, is that they've painted themselves in a corner with Obafemi, is that he's literally, they ran him through every single man and male wrestler, basically, in NXT, and they, he has nowhere else to go now. So they're just throwing random people at him, and that's what this felt like. It felt like, oh, okay. And then, you know, even when we were getting to it, I was like, oh, it's this match. Okay, here we go. And then I was like extremely pleasantly surprised, because I literally, for the first part of it, I was like, okay, is it over yet? Then it started like picking up, and I was like, wait a minute, what's happening here? Wait, this is not supposed to be this good. And man, was it good. I mean, all of the in-ring, outer ring were, I mean, that when Josh came and hit Obafemi from the side, when he was, oh my God, it was just like, it was everywhere. It was crazy. With Dijak and Josh teaming up against Obafemi, which, you know, brilliant idea. And then they turned on each other, and then it was, oh my God. And then Obafemi was like out of the ring for a while. It was just like, what is happening in this? What universe have we stepped into all of a sudden? And yeah, I will admit, I really enjoyed the match far more than I was expecting to, because the build was horrible to it. I mean, it was absolutely horrible. And now I'm going to have to start looking at that, because like, oh, look, a horrible build. Maybe it'll be an amazing fight. I don't know. But this was a huge, huge surprise. Huge surprise.
It felt like in the buildup that they were trying to convince us that this was going to be something big.
Yeah.
Which almost made me feel like I should doubt it, because you're telling me it's going to be special too much, or trying to like build a story that wasn't there. And then they just showed us that it could be something big by actually, you know, it's the like don't tell show kind of a thing. And they did. I thought the way that they played things made all three of them look strong. I thought even when Femi was taking damage because he was facing two guys that were close to his size, it actually made him look stronger, because he took that and came back, and he always kept coming back. That setup where he had Dijak on his shoulders and Dijak had, oh my God, Briggs on his like kind of set up in the power. Fireman's carry. And he just like walked out to the center of the ring before dropping them both. It was crazy. I was so worried until they hit it. And then when they hit it, it looked great. It looks like they all hit like they should. And that finishing sequence back and forth outside the ring with, you know, one getting hit and then the other blindsiding that one, going through the barricade and then going into the ring and then making the save and then the finish. And it was done really, really well. Like exactly what you should do with, you know, the powerhouse matches. And I feel like we might be setting up a singles match between Femi and Dijak now, because he didn't take the pin, which might get us a little holdover to seeing who he's going to face next. But I'd kind of like to see Femi, especially because there's not really any other big powerhouses, unless they're going to have like Duke from Chase U come over or someone like that come in and face Oba. But I'd like to see, you know, maybe someone who brings in a different style to try and counter that. I know we all had some hopes for a certain someone to return, which might still happen. But yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with Femi now, because going into this match, I felt like, well, what are they going to do after this? Because now he doesn't have anyone. Now coming out of the match, I feel like, what are they going to do now? Like, I'm excited to see what's next.
Yeah, I agree with that. Me too.
This was like not knowing anything that happened, like the buildup or anything to any of these matches. Like to me personally, this was my match of the night for NXT. Watching the big boys do the big boy, big slappy meat thing. But like the cinematography of this match was really good, especially at the ends when Dijak was going for the pin and you see Obafemi just grab him by the throat. You didn't see him coming. He's where the ref was supposed to be. And they had that camera angle of him just grabbing him and picking him up in the middle of the pin. It was like horror movie-esque. It was really, really cool. That Tower of Doom spot, of course, was awesome. Yeah, these guys, they just balled out. They're just like, all right, let's just put on a banger of a match. And second year in a row now with the North American Championship, that match at Stand and Deliver was the match of the night for Stand and Deliver. Whoever holds that belt, that multi-person match at Stand and Deliver is going to be a banger. So it was really, really cool.
Yeah, you're actually kind of right, because having been there live with you last year at Stand and Deliver and then watching it together, yeah, it's kind of weird. The North American Championship has probably had some of the more crazy or pleasantly surprised matches. That five-way last year was my match of the night, and it was in my top three by the end of 2023, because that still lives rent-free in my head. And this was very good. And you mentioned the cinematography, which I really like watching NXT and even Raw and SmackDown, you know, now that they're doing different things. I love what they're doing. They're just taking chances, trying new things out. And That was a beautiful shot, like a movie where Obafemi's arm just crosses into scene and then picks up Ty Jack, which was fantastic. I got to give kudos to all three of these men in this match because they proved me wrong, and I'm happy that they did because this was a phenomenal match. Dijak, this isn't Dijak's first stand and deliver. This is Oba's first stand and deliver. Josh was in ballet last year, and now to be in a match too, these three men were fantastic. This was a phenomenal match. It was so good. And then the good times just kept rolling because then we roll into our six women tag, which it was in the middle of the card. This was Thea Hale, Kalani Jordan, and Fallon Henley taking on the team of JC Jane, Izzy Dane, and Kiana James. This was a chaotic match, but I was here for every single moment of this. I want to point out before anyone else does, JC Jane's running knee is the most devastating thing that I have seen within recent memory. Like, that girl just hits it so on target every single time. It is nuts. But these women were all over the place, and this was just a showcase. And I'm gonna make a bold statement here. You know, now that we're starting to get some of our more established women either to move on to certain other things in NXT or going to main roster, I'm going to say that these are the next six women that we should be paying attention to the next year, because I think two of these women, I think, have the potential to become champion by the end of this year. That's my statement. This is the next crop of women that we should be looking at for, like, the clusters. And I would throw Soul and Blair. There's just so much women talent in NXT that are also good. But I think these were the right six for this match, given with what we built to. Wow, everyone is so stunned to speak.
I was expecting Will to go next, but yeah, no, this match was super fun. This was, you know, we've gotten three six women tag matches across the three cards that we've had so far in the last 2 days. And this was my second favorite. And that was not a knock to the quality of this match. It was just that the other one was just incredible. But all six of these women did incredible in this. They had their spots of looking really good, really strong, fast. I'm much more enjoying Thea Hale now. Her kind of shtick before this was just not entertaining to me. And, you know, seeing her in there with Kalani Jordan and Fallon Henley, like, both of them look strong. It felt like it was the right progression of the story. It didn't feel like it was overly cluttered, and it felt like you could see where the stories were going to go from here. You know, the feud with JC and the, you know, the history between Fallon and Kiana, and, you know, that means with, obviously, like, Izzy is now with Kiana, and, like, how there's that struggle there. You know, Kalani just wanting to fight everybody. Like, they all had some great spots, and it was great. It was so much fun, and the way that they set up everything leading up to the ending was really good. This was probably one of my top three matches of the night.
Yeah, this was fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with all of that. And I was super impressed in this whole six woman thing. I was super impressed with Kalani. Like, wow. And it feels like they're setting her up for something. And if they are, I'm super excited about it. Of course, Thea's new old Thea is fantastic, of course, you know, and I think that love sick. You know, I think it was one of those where I didn't really care for that Thea either. I thought it was cute with her and JC's thing, but I was thinking about it. It's like that, you have to, you know, like, JC kicked a puppy and now the puppy has grown up and remembers and is now like, I'm coming for you. I'm going to eat your lunch. And I'm loving that because she is like a wild dog in that ring. I was just like, watching her go. I mean, and of course, Fallon, I think, is another wonderful up and comer. I think it was, I'm glad they took her kind of out of that, you know, when they broke up Briggs and them, and they kind of took her out on her own. I was very excited about that. And because she's grown a lot as well. So, and of course, you know, JC and her bad and her mean girls, you know, they were great. Of course, this is probably my second most favorite match of the evening, mainly because these women were, I mean, just incredible. I love the women in NXT. I love all of them. They all have their strengths, They all have their niche, and it's, and I have yet to see a pairing or tripling of women in NXT that has been bad. Like, truly. I was sitting here while you were talking, trying to think back. I was like, I can't remember anyone. You know, of course, Mike, you've been here way longer than I have, but you may. But I as long as I've been here, I have never seen a pairing or grouping of women in the ring that have been bad or weak.
Well, to take it even a step further, as someone who has been a part of NXT even since the Black and Gold era, which was years ago, and thinking about all the women that were part of there and what the women's roster on NXT now, honestly, there has never been, well, okay, one woman aside because of personal political beliefs, but outside of her, there hasn't really been a bad women's wrestler to come out of NXT. Because even our mainstays in the main roster, Bianca, Rhea, Becky, Charlotte, Bayley, like they all came from NXT, Black and Gold too. So there hasn't yet to be a bad women. There has not been a bad women's wrestler to come out of NXT. And with the crop of women that we have now in this rebrand 2.0, 3.0, if you will. Yeah, there's no women wrestler on this roster that I can think of that is like, maybe wrestling's not for them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. These women represent. And I love anytime we get a women's match in a pay-per-view or even in the weeklies, I'm excited about it. Because, and I've said it, and I've said it, I'll say it again, that sometimes the women's matches outdo the men's. I mean, truly. They outperform them. And I'm here for it. And this was one of them. I thought this one was stellar. It was fun to watch. It was neat to watch all the mechanics of it. It was neat to watch each of the wrestlers' like personal styles interact with the others and how they, you know, and how they worked together, how they worked against. You know, it was really neat to sort of see the dynamics, you know, of these sort of individual wrestlers in these sort of like group settings, you know, because sometimes like when you do like, you know, 6-7, you know, or 6-8, whatever, 12, you know, person matches, people tend to get lost. And I don't feel that happened here at all. I thought I watched each and every one of them. I could see each of them doing something. Each of them at one point was kind of spotlighted. You know, there was no one got lost in the background. So I thought that the logistics of this match were pretty awesome, on point. And of course, the wrestlers were just awesome. Just awesome.
I'll be honest. This match looked like it was a lot of good, but if you watch the thing, this is kind of where I disappeared for a while. I came back toward the very end of the match, which was fine because it was Thea Hale hitting that Kimura for the tap out, yeah. Which is completely fine because that's the Thea Hale. I didn't see her change. Last time I watched NXT was Santa Deliver last year when she was still the puppy dog. I Kimura
when
everybody.
She was in Chase U.
Right. So it was the same Thea Hale for me, and I liked it because I liked the I'm going to Kimura everybody, which is completely okay with me because I thought the bit was funny. So. Yeah, thumbs up.
I think the important thing from this match, too, that was touched upon as well is that now that we had all six of these women kind of beef out a little bit, now we can split these into two different women's stories. You can have Thea and JC continue to go at it because JC got out unscathed because she didn't get pinned in this match. And then if you wanted to have a storyline where you have, because Kalani and Fallon still need to get Kiana and Izzy back. So those four can go at it. Then Thea and JC can have their own thing. I would love to see a submission or an Iron Woman match. Like literally the next pay-per-view is called Battleground. What a perfect name to have a match where these two go at it. Like Battleground is a place for a bunch of these matches. Like people, y'all got beef, go to Battleground. That's what NXT should build Battleground to be. These are the stories and matches where people got beef with each other and we're going to settle it at Battleground. But I thought this was really fun. And we weren't done talking about the women quite yet, because as soon as this match was over, we cut backstage with Ava, who tells the audience watching on TV and in the arena that this NXT women's roster is deep. And if there's nothing that gets you excited about women's wrestling than what we just witnessed, then there is nothing else that Ava can do. And because Ava believes in the women's division so much, she makes the announcement that NXT is going to be getting a Women's North American Championship, which means we're probably going to have a tournament and we'll probably learn more about it this upcoming Tuesday on NXT. But let me tell you, as a fan of women's wrestling and reviewing NXT for as long as we have, this is a conversation that has constantly been brought up while we were reviewing, because you have such a vast women's roster. And since the women's tag team championships aren't coming down to NXT as much as we'd like, we need a mid-card title for the women's mid-card women's title for NXT. And lo and behold, we are getting one in the Women's North American Championship. And I am super excited. But boys, we can talk about theories and conjecture in a little bit. But how do we feel about the announcement of this mid-card title for the NXT Women's Division?
I'm going to yield my time to Andrew, because he's the one that has talked about this the most, and I think he has the most to say about it. So,
yeah, I mean, I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, especially because we've seen so many women put on matches that I'm like, this is why we need this type of title. This is, you know, we have some great stories going on, and I appreciate the fact that we can tell stories for wrestlers without having it to be around a title. But it is based on combat sports, and that's how you have a lot of stories being told, either scripted or naturally. And having this title is just going to give something extra to a lot of those female performers. You know, like we said, we saw the Sol Ruka Blair Davenport match. I think this six woman tag match that we had showcased six women that could all go for this title. At the same time, we also have all of these women who can go for the world title. And NXT really does, I think, have the biggest depth of women's roster. And having this title is great. It's also, we see it on the main roster. We see it in other promotions, whether it's men's or women's divisions. When you have a secondary title, it enables you to build up the challengers for the primary title. And I think that's what we're going to get with this. I do agree. It would be wonderful if we got the women's tag matches to actually come, or tag team titles to come down here and have it be like authentically defended. And, you know, this is another way to just bring more attention to what they're doing. And in a form of entertainment, in sports or whatever, where accolades are a big thing, this is another way to honor the women that are doing good work, is by giving them another, you know, accolade, another title that they can pick up, being a former NXT North American champion, being a former NXT champion, you know, moving up to the main roster and getting titles there. Like, it's just another way to honor the work that they're doing. And it provides us with another way to tell some really great stories, like they can tell leading up to our first NXT North American Women's Champion.
I am super excited at the prospect of this.
Yep, mine ditto to everything that Andrew just said. And the only thing I'm going to add to it is it's about damn time.
I don't normally watch NXT, but I'm hoping that this is a test run to see if they can move a mid-card belt for the women in the main roster, so we have more for the women to do in the main roster.
Give these women their due, damn it. I mean, seriously, they outperform the men more often than not, and yet they have the lesser of titles. So why not? I mean, why is it taken so? I get that wrestling's a man's sport, whatever, and then the good old boys are in charge, but man, these women work their butts off. And I mean, they probably train twice as hard. You know, you can tell that they are like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. And I want to make a difference. And I want to get out there and I want to show them what I've got, you know. And it always feels like, oh, we have to do the extra mile to get recognized. And it's been such a BS thing. That I'm just, especially from my point of view, like, these women, man, they're incredible to watch. And they really put in the time and the effort. And it's about damn time that we give them another belt. You know, they deserve it. And I don't understand. Shame on you, wrestling people out there, that it took this long. Shame on you. Shame.
I will say it's a really exciting weekend for women's divisions in wrestling. Both, we got a lot of women's matches across the board, but also, you know, we now have two promotions, whether you want to call them big promotions, secondary promotions, or whatever, between this and Ring of Honor, that have now produced secondary women's titles, which is awesome. And I think what we're seeing is there's the appreciation there. We're just overcoming the years of, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, a little more than that, it was a men's sport. So there just wasn't a lot of women's wrestling. If it was, it was unique, but it was mostly men's. Then when we started introducing women wrestlers, you know, it was the Attitude Era and everything like that. And so it was much more about like wrestling models is really more of what it was. And now we're getting into the point when it's just everyone's a wrestler. You know, that's why I love the promotions where there's no separation of the divisions. It's everybody wrestles everybody. Whoever can go for whatever titles, we can have mixed tag teams. We can have all that kind of stuff where it's just people are just wrestling. And if we're not going to have that, let's at least have equal presentation of the quality, because we have the actual quality in the performers. And outside of the North American title, we already had this in NXT and on the main roster. We had tournaments for the tag team champions. Let's have a cross-promotion tournament for the women's tag team champions. Get four tag teams from Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. Put on a tournament. Have the number one contender crowned. And let's get more eyes on that title, too. Because not only am I enjoying the women's wrestling, but I want more, better tag team wrestling. So let's get some respect on that title as well, because we need to respect not just the women's wrestling but tag team wrestling, because there's such a history there and it can be so amazing. And we saw that with the stuff tonight in Stand and Deliver, because we got some really great six and standard tag team matches.
I'm excited for the prospect of this. I am excited to see what comes of this, and you know, this is fantastic. And then it just kept getting better for women's talent, because I just want to take a moment of silence for me, because for those of you who know, here at BC WrestlePod, I am the resident Stardom person. I try to keep up with Stardom as best as I can, because there's a lot of good talent in Stardom. But if you want to say that Will Ospreay is the modern day GOAT for this generation of wrestlers, I would put Julia in the top of that same category for best women's modern wrestler in this era. Her work in Stardom is fantastic. And she made an appearance at Stand and Deliver, and we get confirmation that she is officially signed with WWE, and she will be heading to NXT as soon as she's done with the last dates that she promised that she would do with Stardom's new offshoot program in the United States. Like, I think it's like two or three appearances, and then she'll be in NXT. Excuse my French. I effing love Julia so much. And just the amount of dream matches that she can have in NXT just makes me super excited. And hopefully they allow Julia to just be her authentic self, because a lot of the times main roster WWE and sometimes NXT don't know how to do right by their Asian female wrestlers. But so far, with how Meiko Satomura has looked, as well as some other folks, I'm not worried that Triple H and Shawn Michaels will do right by Julia, but the wrestling gods have blessed me with this signing. I'm super excited. Julia is one of my favorites in Stardom. I'm going to stop talking now, because I can go on for hours about how Julia is amazing.
That's cool. I don't know Julia, but I'm excited to know her. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I'm excited, especially, you know, I had a feeling this is how it was going to be. We were going to see her make an appearance, and the likelihood was, you know, she was going to appear at WrestleMania weekend. It was going to be on NXT. And I feel like this was the great setup to be like, okay, Julia's coming in. She's not going to be here, but we're building the anticipation, and she's going to come and being built as the next title contender once she comes in. Whether they want to try and really boost that North American title and try to like let her run after that first to kind of give her the chance to go for both titles and just like build her way through, or if they're going to put her straight in and have her go for that NXT Women's World Championship. Either way, it'll be exciting. And yeah, I think it's great to get in some of these, you know, international and independent wrestlers. And I think the biggest thing is when you bring someone over for what they can do, you need to let them do what they can do. And NXT seems to do that a little better than main roster, but I'm willing to accept that we're heading into a different era with different people in charge. Things are changing. Fans have more visibility on the things that they see outside of the big promotions. So I'm hoping that all of this is heading in the right direction. And this could be an exciting signing with Julia.
So what I was reading, I don't know much about Julia, but I did see this. They're planning on letting her keep her stiff strikes minus the headbutt. That's what I was reading. But like I said, I don't know. I have never seen Julia before this, so I'm not sure what that all entails, but that was what I was like reading on the social medias.
Thank goodness. I'm super excited. And you know, what makes me more excited too is that the those who don't follow Stardom or don't know too much about Julia, it makes me super excited because now we'll get to see Julia on a weekly basis here on, you know, North American wrestling television. And, you know, with that report that they're going to let Julia keep her fighting style minus the headbutt makes me excited because I don't want, it's not fair to compare wrestlers, but Julia is the modern day version of Asuka is the best way I can put it. Like stiff strikes, hard kicks, like super excited. And we stan Asuka in this household. So having Julia there is fantastic. And, you know, normally I don't like main roster folks coming down to NXT and kind of messing up that whole shebang, but Julia versus Asuka is a match I would love to see one at one point. Shoot, make it a fatal four-way between... Just give me all my Joshi wrestlers, Julia, Asuka, Kairi, and Io in one match. Like, I would lose my absolute gourd. But
I will say, you know, I am someone who is resistant to people, especially from smaller or international promotions or whatever, going over to especially WWE because it feels like they do homogenize them a lot. But I'm also aware that bringing in people like that and giving them the chance to shine in those big promotions also has a backwards effect. So hopefully people will see Julia, go, oh, Julia wrestled in this promotion. Oh, I really like her. I want to go see what this promotion's about. And it's like what we've gotten over this weekend of some of those big crossovers. This is also a chance to hype up some other promotions. You know, we got a lot of people from WWE going into another bloody show this, you know, earlier this week too. So I hope that we're seeing more of that because really more professional wrestling and better professional wrestling is just going to be good for especially us as fans.
I absolutely agree. And I'm excited to see what becomes of Julia in the next couple of months or so. So NXT Stand and Deliver was not done with the women though, because now that we got our mid-card title for the women's division, a new signee for the NXT women's division, while the triple threat for the North American Championship was my most entertaining match of the morning. I have to say morning because we watched it in the morning, not at nighttime. But the NXT Women's Championship match, Lyra versus Roxanne, from beginning to end, if you include storytelling, in-ring psychology, and just overall entertainment value, which are the three big things I look for in a match. For me, this was my match of the morning. I knew this match was going to be fantastic, and I was not disappointed. And these women went at it. They did everything and anything. And I was even pleasantly surprised when we had a quick run-in from Tatum Paxley involved in this match that it didn't overshadow it and it didn't affect the outcome all too much. But this was my match of the morning. I thought Lyra and Roxanne killed it. This, I don't even know where to start because I was smiling from beginning bell to end bell by the whole entire thing.
I think this match delivered exactly what we all wanted it to in the way that we wanted it to, or at least that's how I feel, because we all of us, the three of us anyway, we're like, yeah, Roxanne needs to win this. Roxanne needs to be the next champion. Roxanne, 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 Roxanne. And I agree. I this was probably my match of the night as well. And not probably, it was. I was both looking forward to this and not looking forward to this because I love Lyra. And I didn't want to see her get defeated, but I was excited that she got defeated by Roxanne and nobody else, because I love Roxanne and I think it's her time. You know, in the past, when Lyra first, you know, I didn't think it was her time yet. I mean, she was still young. She was still, you know, when I say young, she was, the character was still young and sort of learning and sort of didn't know her place. And then all of a sudden we started having this heel shift. And once we went, once she turned fully, I was like, okay, I think she's ready. I think she's ready for it. And so I was excited for this match. And I too was just like, oh, wow, wow, wow. I mean, I was excited all the way through. And when Roxanne won, I was like, yeah. And initially I was sort of disappointed that it was by submission. But then I sort of was like, well, no, I kind of like that. Because at first I was like, no, I wanted her to pin her down. I wanted her to pin her and be like, yeah, take that. But I liked this. Actually, after I thought about it, I liked the fact that she submitted her to the win, because I think that's a much more powerful thing, you know? And so, yeah, I really enjoyed this. I really did. And I'm super excited to see who will be the first to challenge Roxanne. I'm very, very curious. So that'll be fun to watch as the weeks go by. So,
yeah, I agree. This was also my match of the night. You know, this, for the amount of action that it had, the storytelling that it had, the development, the struggle that both performers went through. And I agree, having that submission finish just put a little extra on there for Roxanne, because, you know, it's one thing to knock your opponent out and then, you know, there's not much they can do against it. I get a pinfall over them. But when you make them tap out, you're forcing them to, like, give up. And so this just made her look really strong. But the nice thing was, they've been building the weakness in Lyra since really this big turn for Roxanne when she, you know, went after the arm initially and then throughout the rest of the match. But I like that they did it, which was different than what we got in the semi-main event of, like, having an injury. It didn't make Lyra feel weaker going into this match. But it also, by that account, didn't make Roxanne feel weaker for having to do that to her opponent. It just made Lyra seem, like, tougher and Roxanne feel smarter. And I love the adversity that she had to go. You know, it wasn't just like she locked in the submission eventually and got the win. It took multiple, like, reversals and locking it back in and reversal and lock it back in. And we just got to see that adversity that both of them got to, like, work through. And I also appreciate that Tatum got involved because she was a part of this story, but it was separated enough from the finish that it didn't also feel like it played a part in the finish, but it did seem to play a part in the ongoing story, which I think is going to be the story for Lyra to eventually leave from NXT and move up to the main roster, because that kind of feels like where she's going. And I agree. I think it will be interesting to see who challenges Roxanne next, especially now that we'll have this North American title, to see which group of women are going to go after that and who's going to be the next batch to step up to the, you know, NXT title. And there's some, I think we'll get at least one more contender, if not a couple more, before we see Julia come in. If she's going to be the next really big name to challenge for that title, but I'm excited to see Roxanne get a good hearty run with the NXT title.
Absolutely.
You know, I was generally surprised by how good this match was. I knew a little bit about how good they are individually, Roxanne and Valkyria, but you put them together, they put on a show. If it wasn't for the big men doing the big men stop at me thing, this would be my match of the night. And it's not every day. You don't see submission finishes very much anymore. So I was very happy to see that happened. And it kept my good streak of predictions going for this. So I thought the match was very, very good. It's up there as of right now. I think it's probably the second or third favorite match of Saturday, that includes Night One of Mania. But yeah, it was super, super good.
Like I said, you all touched upon everything. This was my match from storytelling, in-ring psychology, and entertainment value. This was definitely a moment for Roxanne, who has been trying to get this title back that she never truly lost since last year's Stand and Deliver. So it's been a year-long journey for her. And it just happens that Lyra got caught in the crosshairs. But we'll talk about Lyra in a little bit because we get a small thing with her later in the evening, which I think is going to be nice because I think we're going to be turning Lyra to be a little more vicious, which makes me super excited. The other thing that I will say is that for me personally, the money-making match is when she comes back from injury. And if Roxanne still has that title before she faces Julia, I do want to see a Roxanne-Cora Jade match before we throw Julia into the main title picture, because we've been building that for so long. And unfortunately, injury kind of derailed a lot of plans for everything. So I do want to see Roxanne and Cora fight it out one time for the title, even if it's on NXT television. Like, so hopefully we'll see how long Roxanne has it. I hope she has a good long reign. And I hope that her opponents were just as fun as her first title reign that she got to face. So we move on from this and we get into our semi-main event, which was another match that I was very surprised of how much I enjoyed it by the end of it. For the NXT Championship, we had Tony D'Angelo, number one contender, beating Carmelo Hayes for that spot, taking on the Mad Dragon, the Czar himself, Ilya Dragunov. I will admit, this of the first half, for me personally, the first half of the match kind of took a little bit to get to, but I feel that once we got into the bit where Stax tried to give the nuts to Tony and Tony said no is when the match went into full gear and kind of shifted and everything kind of started coming together.
Yeah,
really, that is really, really, really quick. I just read that and Jacob Fatu and Rikishi are all in Philadelphia today, so we could be getting Rikishi for the main event tonight. I apologize. It's something I just read. They posted 2 hours ago for the main event for her tonight because we're all like Rikishi, Rikishi, Rikishi. So you might finally make an appearance. Yeah.
Zilla and Jacob were wrestling at another GCU card that GCW has been putting on cards like the last 4 days, and they were a few of those, so that makes sense.
Back fantastic to NXT. Our ADHD brains. Anyways, back to Tony. I almost said Stax. Back to Tony and Ilya.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Will.
Okay.
Maybe this will spark some reminders for you. I would put this match similar to how I felt about the main event from night one. By the end of it, I was being entertained. I was enjoying everything that happened. I mean, some of those big spots that Ilya hit, you know, to really put Tony away, not only were crazy to see Ilya hit, but it also added to Tony, like, the fact that Ilya had to hit those moves to put him away. It did start a little slower for me. It got me back interested in them fighting to the point where I was when Tony was facing Carmelo to get this match. You know, I was like, okay, cool. This is what I want from an NXT title shot. But they had to bring me back into it from how they kind of built up this match and how it kind of started. I don't think the whole hand angle was needed because it didn't play enough of a part in the outcome that it did anything for it. And I think Tony could have looked strong without Ilya having that injury. But all in all, I thought they put on a really good match. I wasn't let down by it or anything. It just, there were so many other really great matches that this just wasn't at the top for me, but it was still a really good match. I still gave it a really good ranking. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen with Ilya. I hope that we have a clear idea from what happened later on, who's going to face him and dethrone him, because I think it's also pretty clear that Ilya is not long for the NXT world.
Yeah, I still can't remember what I was going to say.
So, like I mentioned before, cool. I thought this was a fun match. I still enjoyed it. I do agree with you, Andrew. I'm hoping, and Shawn Michaels or whoever is on the team, if you end up, I swear you guys are watching our reviews because you correct the weirdest things that we look for. But I'm hoping that, because what I would love to see is that between now and either Heatwave or Battleground, whatever you want to choose to, I think you start priming Ilya for main roster. Because, I mean, come on. You can't have a pay-per-view called Bash in Berlin and not have Gunther and Ilya go at it like for the third time. Like, we got to get Ilya and Gunther for that. So, and we're going to talk about who that challenger or person to take the title off of Ilya should be in a little bit. But as far as the match goes, I think you hit it right on the head, Andrew. I feel that I was entertained by the end of it, It just was a little bit slow to get there, which is weird because Tony by himself is pretty decent. We know Ilya is really, really good, but coupled with the story that we've been telling and, you know, the match itself, I still enjoyed it. And it was a lot better than other matches that we saw this weekend. But I would put it towards the lower end if I were going to rank all these matches, because I thought this was a cool match, but it didn't have, like, to use Great American Bash when Carmelo and Ilya went at it, there was like no spectacle and not crazy stuff like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But I still enjoyed it.
Okay, so this is not at all what I was going to say earlier, I'm pretty sure, but I do have some thoughts. So I enjoyed the match. I thought it was okay. To me, it felt more like a placeholder match than an actual championship match, like a title match. So I was a little, probably has a lot to do with the buildup to it, because the buildup to it was lackluster at best, I think. The buildup to it seemed very one-sided, basically. And it was all Tony, 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 Tony. And don't get me wrong, I love Tony and I love Ilya both. But I wasn't as impressed with this match as I was with most of the matches of this pay-per-view. This one was probably, not counting pre-show, this was probably, was the weakest match of the night, because I didn't feel like they were fighting for a title. It didn't feel like that. That might come down to the spectacle of it or whatever, but I didn't feel the title energy here. I felt, you know, that it was two really good wrestlers wrestling a match, you know, like almost like sparring with each other, that type of thing. I didn't feel that there were any stakes involved, I guess. I don't know. I didn't feel like this was a very heavy match. I did like the fact that Tony turned down the brass knuckles. I thought that was cool that he wanted to fight this like truly wanted to fight it. And I agree. I think the second half of the fight was better, was stronger, I guess. But I didn't feel like the energy here was title energy. I didn't. And I hated that. But, and of course, you know, Ilya retained, and we're like, yeah, well, two of us were very solid about that. But yeah, I don't know. It was a weird, I don't know. For me, it was just weird energy, and I don't know what it was. So I enjoyed the match. I thought they performed very well, because they did what they do, and there you have it. Yeah. Oh, I also liked the part when Ilya popped Stax in the face. That was great.
You know, I think that's the best way to put it, because normally when I think of championship matches, there needs to be a sense of urgency from both sides, and I feel that neither one of them really gave me that sense of urgency. Tony wasn't fighting like everything is on the line here, and he wants to get that title. And while Ilya was giving it his all, there was something missing where I think the problem with this whole build in this match for me personally is that even though I briefly thought about it, you know, when I deeply thought about it and after we did our predictions video, there was no way that Tony was winning this one and walking out as new NXT champion, which is unfortunate because I feel that they kind of played their cards a little too much in the buildup, because it was so one-sided in the build. I was like, oh, there's no way that we're not going to let Ilya like get a lick in, because it has been so one-sided. I still thought this was a fantastic match and by no means bad, but you're right. It felt less of a championship match and more kind of like fighting for respect more than a title, if that makes any sense. But I don't know. I think we still enjoyed it, but for me, it was lacking a little bit, but still a lot better than other things that we have seen the last 48 hours. So after this match is over, we get a little vignette/quick interview because, where did my arrow go? There it is. This man, I am super excited to make his debut on NXT television this Tuesday. Javon Evans, if you do not know, has been doing matches on Level Up. And this kid is 19. He is balls to the wall crazy. He is like if we took Wesley and rewound time, because this kid is very acrobatic like Wes, very fast. he is a prodigy in the indie wrestling world. I am super excited to have him be on actual NXT television next Tuesday. But that's all I wanted to say about this. I'm super excited to see Javon Evans.
Yeah, from what I've seen of him, I caught clips of some of his matches. Seeing him in there with people like Blade and Anofi, Nathan Frazier, Axiom, you know, LWO when they come down, like some of those other really good high flyers, really fast performers is going to be exciting. And from what I've seen, he also should do really well against some of the bigger powerhouse wrestlers as well.
I'm excited to see his debut on NXT television on Tuesday. It's going to be fantastic. Then we cut backstage. I couldn't find the exact shot during the pay-per-view, so I found a fill-in clip. But literally, this whole picture is the mood of what we got between Lyra and Tatum afterwards. Tatum tries to console Lyra afterwards, and Lyra was not having it, and she up and leaves the medical room. Like, Lyra is mad. And I hope that is a continuous thing for her when we get to NXT on Tuesday.
Right. I was expecting a little bit more, though. I thought there would have been a little more harshness. You know, I mean, because I don't know. Not the full blown, because I think we're going to build it. But I don't feel that there was an I didn't feel that there was enough, I guess. There wasn't enough. Like to me, it just felt like Lyra was upset because she lost the match and not because Tatum was involved, you know. And to me, so it didn't feel personal. And I wanted, and if they're going to go that route, I kind of wanted this to be more personal.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they'll do this, but I could see them, that being the start of it. Like, initially, she's just shocked by the fact that she lost. She's upset at everybody because, you know, in that scenario, you know, it's easy to blame other people. And I feel like maybe more the next few days between now and when we see them back in NXT is the time that she could, and maybe we'll get this through a promo or something, is have sat and thought about it and stewed over it and like really looked back at what happened and find the reasons and the excuses to put it on Tatum. You know, whether it's a like, you know, why weren't you out there to help me more? Or, you know, when you did come out, you didn't help me, you hurt me. Like, you know, and it's almost that chance for things to stew and you to be able to like build it up in your own mind for, you know, for Lyra to do that. And so I think there's a way that they could really build with what we got. Like maybe what we got initially was the shock. And then now it's going to be the, you know, she's going to go through the stages of grief, basically. But it's the stages of like, you know, not accepting. She's going to make these excuses for what happened and have a blowout. I'd be excited if the last feud we get with Lyra in NXT is a non-title feud with her and Tatum, because I think both it could give us an interesting character for Lyra going up to the main roster, and it could be a really good way to build Tatum up while she stays in NXT. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this next week and what kind of what we get going forward.
Yeah, I think depending on when they want to call Lyra up, we got Battleground and Heat Wave in the next couple months. We also have the television special Spring Break in sometime in May, too. So we'll see when they decide to pull the trigger. But I think that we are in Lyra's kind of like final stage. If we're using video game and theater, we're in the final act of Lyra's stint in NXT, personally, because I think she's ready to go to the main roster. But this would be very, really fun to see, which then leads us into our main event, which has been touted as the main event for weeks. The blood feud of the century for NXT, the longest story that we've been telling, Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams. And I have to say, I was a little underwhelmed by what we got, not because of these two men. I just felt this match was really short and it ended abruptly. That's my two biggest critiques for this match, is that I felt like this was such a short match and the ending just kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. And for, you know, a match that has been touted where we need to have a definitive winner, this was kind of a safe match. I don't know. I still enjoyed it, but like, it was kind of want.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't the ending that they've built to. I think that the way they were building this, it felt like this was going to be Trick Williams literally destroying Carmelo Hayes. Like, because Carmelo has done nothing but destroy him in whatever they had leading up to this. And I don't know if they were trying to make this like, this is something I have to do. I don't want to do it, but I have to do it type of thing. So that's why I'm not going full, you know, whatever on you. But, you know, and then the disrespect was great. I liked all the disrespecting, but it didn't feel like it was like triggering, Trick to like step his game up, I guess you might say. Cause I don't know. I agree. I felt that this was, it was all right. It was good. I mean, it was a good fight, but it was not what I was wanting, I guess, as someone who's been watching this build for so long now and they have really gotten me to hate Carmelo Hayes as a character. They've built that. And they've really built the idea of Trick being this like hero. And in the final, quote unquote, the final clash between the good guy and the bad guy, it was sort of, oh, okay. I mean, it was like, oh, is that it? Oh, okay. Yay. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I was, I don't know what I was expecting. Well, I was expecting Trick to destroy him. And like, that's why at the end of it, I was like, now spit on him. I mean, literally, I was like, I need something. I need some kind of something.
There should have been some sort of moment of finality to tell us that this is the end of the saga we've been telling. But because of what we got, I'm afraid we're getting one more match before Carmelo goes. And I think that will be the blow off match. Again, you have Battleground coming up. What better way to end the finality of beef than at a pay-per-view called Battleground?
And see, and this is the thing is like Trick needs I believe story-wise, Trick needs a solid win. He needs a final thing. Like, this is it. See, you no longer have power over me, you know? And I don't feel like this was it. I don't. And it kind of bothered me a little bit. I mean, like I said, it was not a bad match. It was too short, and I don't feel that it was as brutal as it should have been, because especially with Carmelo talking about how, you know, I'm going to take you out and take you this and take you that. And I don't feel like he was doing that at all. I feel like it was more of like, look at you, you're weaker than I am, as opposed to I'm going to destroy you and show everybody here that I have that power over you. And I don't feel like Trick took that power away from him. So I still feel like Carmelo has something over him. That's why I too am like kind of like, are we gonna get another one? Because I'm kind of done. It's like I this is supposed to have been the end. I was ready for this end. You know, please don't do this. Don't do like they do. It's like, oh hey, everybody really liked that. We should do another one so we can make more money off of it. And so then it just becomes about the cash flow as opposed to the story. And I literally was just like really wanting a finality to this. And I don't feel like we got it. And so, I was, it was not what I was hoping it was going to be. And I was very excited for this match. I was super excited that it was the main event. I was like, oh my God, it's the main event. That means it's going to be on fire. And I felt like it was more of a smolder than a blaze. So that's where I stand.
I think this match kind of suffered from its own success, kind of a thing. Like, we had such high expectations for both of these performers, because I think the match was really, really good. It just, their abilities and what they've done in the ring set their own bar so high that by having just a really good match, it was going to seem like it wasn't as great as it could have been, even though it was really good. I enjoyed it. You know, I think they both did well for what they were trying to do. I liked the way that Carmelo was trying to play with Trick. I do feel like it was shorter. I feel like this match could have been a 20-minute match, and it could have given them a chance to really do some big and crazy things. I felt like I said it before, this, you know, so far what we've gotten from WrestleMania weekend has not really, in a lot of the matches that should have, haven't hit that big night feel, that big weekend feel that where they could have. But all in all, I mean, if you look at this match by itself, it was a really good match. It's just there were some really surprising and phenomenal matches that came on before this. And, I think what we're going to see from this is Trick is probably going to move on to face Ilya again for the NXT title. You know, there's talk of Carmelo moving up to the main roster. You know, I think there's a chance for him to come out of this since he lost and just kind of go, you know, I'm done here. I don't need to be here anymore. And in the NXT world, that makes him look like he's kind of running away. But at the same time, if he's showing up on the main roster, you know, it's running away to another hard battleground area. You know, you're going against some big names, some big talent. And so, I feel like this match was still really good. It was still in the top end of matches for me as far as like overall ranking goes. But if I compared it with my enjoyment of the rest of the card, it would be on the lower end. But that's only because there were matches that I enjoyed so much more. But yeah, I think it was just they're both really, really good. So they're both great. So having a good match just feels lesser than if we were seeing other people doing the quality that they were doing. Because if we saw two other performers do what they were doing that were at a lower level, we'd be like, wow, that was an amazing match from these two. So it was just, they just came in setting their bar really high for themselves.
So the match itself, very, very good. And I've only really have two issues with it. One of them is an issue I've really just had all weekend, unless night two changes that for Mania, which is a theme that I've noticed, which is playing it safe. A lot of matches were just simply playing it safe. Like, if they really wanted to make this a blow-off match, they should have made it longer and made this like an Extreme Rules match to really set that finality to everything. And is the abrupt ending, I feel like there should have been a more definitive win for Trick, not just the, oh, he hit me with that one lucky shot. Nine times out of, like, the other 100, the other 99 times he would never hit that on me, I just win. Which I feel like if they push for a second for this feud, that's what Melo might go off of. He just hit one lucky shot. If he didn't hit that shot, I would have won the match. So, but other than that, like, the match itself was really, really good. Definitely the best of the blowout matches, which you'll hear about the other one when we do the Night 1 Mania review. When it comes to blood feuds, but yeah, I agree with Andrew. Like, they put on a really good match, but we expected the bar was super high for these two because we know how good these two are. So we expected more. But at the same time, like, they put on a really good match. They played it safe, which I don't, if this is supposed to be a blowout match, I don't think they should have. And the abruptness of the ending with just the out of nowhere knee to end it kind of was like, okay, yeah, it's really cool that Trick won, but it should have been a more definitive, less lucky shot kind of win.
Right. And, you know, we touched upon it in different ways, but what I'm hoping is that because this didn't feel like a finality match to me, so I'm pretty sure I can guess, and we'll get more info when we watch NXT. I think we get one more match between these two, and Shawn Michaels and NXT, if you're listening to this, have it be a big stipulation match like Extreme Rules, a street fight, something. There needs to be a finality to it. Have it be at Battleground, and then we can all move on. Trick can move on to Ilya, and Melo can go to main roster and start his journey there. Because if this is how Carmelo leaves NXT to go to main roster, I'm going to be like, damn. I was just like, the storytelling was fantastic, but the execution of the final chapter of it was not necessarily the best. But I'm going to reserve judgment until we watch the NXT After Stand and Deliver this upcoming Tuesday to figure it out. But gents, we have reached the end of our Stand and Deliver review. So the last thing that we're going to do, as we always do here, is we're going to give final thoughts and our final ratings for Stand and Deliver. We use the empanada scale here at BC WrestlePod. I am going to go first. If I look at the card, including the pre-show and everything we got in between, I am going to give Stand and Deliver, for me personally, I'm going to give it a solid 8 out of 10 for me. I thought, granted that we are reviewing this the day after WrestleMania Night 1 had just ended, of the three things that I have seen, This is probably my favorite pay-per-view of the things we have seen. We still have night two, and hopefully that can blow me out of the water because I was very underwhelmed with night one of WrestleMania. And we don't talk about super mid card of Honor, but I give this a solid 8 out of 10. I thought from beginning to end, this was a solid book show. Once again, like other promotions, the buildup for some of these stories were great to okay to not the best, but pretty much almost every single match delivered. But my issues with the main event and the weirdness that was our pre-show match kind of dinged a couple of points with it. But all the other matches were fantastic. This was a solid show. I would still pick last year's Stand and Deliver over this year's, but I still think all the talent involved this year did a phenomenal job. So that is my final rating. I give Stand and Deliver 2024 an 8 out of 10 empanadas.
I guess I'll go next. Yeah, I give it a solid 8. I thought it was a pretty good pay-per-view. I enjoyed it. I thought that literally what brought it down for me was, believe it or not, was the main event. It is really what brought it down for me. And because of all the reasons that we talked about already, it just didn't feel like a finality. And of course, also that brought it down also was the Ilya Tony fight. I thought it brought it down a little bit because I didn't feel like it, to me, it didn't feel like a title match, and it didn't have that energy. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. So I
actually really enjoyed this, and maybe it's because I am ranking it against other cards that we saw. You know, NXT basically being a secondary promotion, being the developmental for WWE and all that kind of stuff, I know they're not going to get a lot of the same backing that we should get from WWE events. And especially when you look at it in light of Stand and Deliver's on the same day as the night of WrestleMania, which all should be huge spectacle. I thought they had some really good, fun things happening. There wasn't really a match that I ranked, you know, wouldn't have had like given them a B, you know, on their assignments for those matches. And there were several that I gave them A's, you know, they're just top quality matches, and the way they laid out most of the card was pretty good. So I actually gave this a 9. This was a really fun night of, I guess it was morning of matches. There were 3 or 4 matches that were just stellar matches. I think ending on a high note, we either could have done a little bit more with the main event or had another match be the main event in hindsight. You know, like the women's match. But with the story that we were telling, it made sense to have the main event we did. If we do go forward and have another big blowout match between them, give us an Iron Man loser leaves NXT match. Have it be something super definitive like that. But all in all, Stand and Deliver so far has been my event of the weekend. And we'll see if that holds through night two.
As somebody who is just watching Stand and Deliver as a standalone, did not watch any of the NXT buildup beforehand, just as a standalone by itself PLE, I'm giving it like an 8. The match quality itself through every match was really, really high. Every match was really, really well put on. It was some of the storytelling in the matches that really kind of like threw me off a little bit. The Ilya Tony D'Angelo fight, that was a match. It was really the quality good. Probably should have happened on NXT instead of Stand and Deliver. And the abruptness of how Trick and Mello ended. But other than that, like that's the only like kind of knocks I really have on everything. Everything else, super, super solid. But we really, Mikey, mean you really can't compare it to last year. I think last year is always going to be better for us because we were there live. You really can't compare going there live to anything else because we're always going to be biased towards a live one. But still, so super solid card. I disagree though. I did like Night One of Mania a little bit more than this, surprisingly enough. But it's still super, super solid card. They did a really good job like they always do. Sean is doing a good job booking over there. So we'll see what he has planned for the next little bit for NXT.
Most certainly. And we mentioned this throughout the review because next up is Battleground, end of May, beginning of June. And then we have Heatwave in Toronto, Ontario, Canada in July. So we got the next two events for NXT. And not to mention, who knows when we're getting their television special Spring Break-In. So I'm excited to see what comes of that. But that is going to be it for this rendition of Grapple Gurus. Do not fret because this is only part one of the trilogy. We will be back tomorrow evening for night one of WrestleMania review. So you're going to have myself, Mini, the Professor, and Louis. So the WWE Raw and SmackDown boys are going to be covering night one. And then Tuesday, night two, is going to be everyone else. It is going to be myself, Mini again, but we will be joined by Jesse and JVL, who normally just cover Ring of Honor, but they are going to be doing night two. So thank you so much for watching this live stream edit. You can follow us all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. Check out our YouTube channel. Follow us on your favorite podcasting network. You can check out us live and in person at New Jersey Wrestle Show May 18th and May 19th. I'm super excited for that. It's going to be a good time. But thank you for joining us in part one. And we will see you for part two of WrestleMania Trilogy tomorrow night. But until then, take care of yourself and ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.